Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Based on the Wired cover story by Jason Parham and directed by Princess Penny, executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter, A People's History tells the story of how black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change, while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. If you were there for Meet Me in Temecula or Thanksgiving Clapback, you need to see this series. If you weren't there, time to dive in. Watch how Black Lives Matter grew and gained force because of the voices on Black Twitter, bringing these issues to the forefront like never before. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History is now streaming on Hulu.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Angela Yee and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do. Just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're, you know, they're listening to The Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Hey, good morning, Charlamagne.
Peace, Angela Yee. Peace to the planet. It's Thursday!
I've been ripping and running this morning already, so I had to get gas this morning because I could have made it to work maybe, but I wouldn't have been able to make it home if I didn't get gas and it's pouring down raining, and I don't pass a gas station on my way to work.
So what's that mean?
So I had to go a whole different route to get here. It took me forever to get to work this morning.
No, I don't have those kind of problems. Okay.
I know you live in Jersey.
And I gas up during the night. And the reason I gas up during the night, because I know myself.
You know okay. what? It was raining so hard yesterday on my way home. I was like, you know, I'm going to come back out later, and I never left my house again.
Man, I love the hard rain. I guess because I'm from South Carolina, so when we, my whole life, like, it'll get real dark, and all the clouds will come out, and it'll start raining real hard. I love that kind of energy. That's some good nap weather.
It's not good if you have to be outside, though.
Who got to be outside in the rain?
It's good if you don't have anything to do and you can stay home. It is nice when it's raining out, but when you have to be running around doing things and it's pouring down raining and you have to worry about your hair getting frizzy, then it turns into a whole new situation.
Stop. Take your ass home sometime. Stop running these streets, Angela Yee.
I was working.
Okay. Now.
I was working. I have a business to run.
One of my favorite, my favorite R&B singer of Generation Now will be here this morning.
Oh, yes. We all, I think, universally up here on The Breakfast Club support and love this guy.
Yes, Mr. Miguel will be here this morning. Drop on the clues bombs for Miguel. I think he's promoting his new single off Warren Leisure. Warren Leisure came out in December, though.
But yeah, the new it came out last year, December 1st.
Come out and chill. Come home and come through and chill.
Come through and chill. It's him
yes,
and
produced
J.
by
Cole.
Salaam Remy and with J. Cole. I like J. Cole's first verse on the record. The second verse, I already know.
Well, J. Cole had a phenomenal interview with Angie Martinez yesterday.
I didn't get
yesterday.
To watch all of it. I was watching some of it, but then it was raining outside, too, so I was like, nah.
It's over. You can't even watch TV.
Nah,
it's raining. I can't do anything.
I can't do J. Cole when it's raining and thundering, okay? I got to watch that a little later. I'm going to finish it today, though.
All right, well, we'll have some of that for you in the rumor report this morning, so no fares. Don't worry about it. We got you.
All right, what we got in front page news?
We are going to be talking about two different things that happen on the opposite sides of the spectrum. Imagine one man threatening to call ICE on you because you're speaking Spanish.
Oh, man, yeah.
And then here's a great situation where the cops actually shut down a white woman who was harassing a black man.
And well, good. I'm glad that racism is getting the respect that it deserves in this country, which is no respect.
Love the way these police officers shut this woman down.
100%. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. What song are we getting into?
I don't know.
Who?
Crew.
Gold Link.
Crew.
All right, it's The Breakfast Club. Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. I don't know where the hell Envy at. Where Envy at? Oh, he said he was stuck in traffic because of the rain or something, right?
Yeah, it's been raining for a couple of days now. I know that a lot of people's flights got delayed. And
he's on a flight?
Well, no, I'm just saying in general because of the rain.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get in the front page news. Last night, the Rockets beat the Warriors 127-105. The series is tied 1-1. Michigan State University reached a $500 million settlement with who?
With Larry Nassar's victims. You know about Larry Nassar, the medical doctor who was entrusted to provide care for the young women at Michigan State University.
Oh, his nasty ass molesting all them young girls.
Yes, he sexually abused hundreds of young girls and women, and Michigan State University is going to pay $500 million. That's $425 million paid to current claimants and $75 million they are setting aside in a trust fund to protect any future claimants alleging sexual abuse by Larry Nassar. So Michigan State University will pay this money out of pocket and then sue their insurance company to get that money back.
Is he in prison yet?
Yeah, he's sentenced to more than 100 years in prison.
I would think he'd have got killed already in prison.
Well, they probably have him isolated from everybody.
Why? He ain't no celebrity?
Because they know that he's going to get killed.
Put his ass in population, okay? You want to molest them young girls? Go on and get that karma that you deserve.
There's also accusations, lawsuits against USA Gymnastics, the U.S. Olympic Committee, gymnastics coaches, and other parties as well. So this settlement only deals with accusations against Michigan State. Now, more than 300 women and girls actually came forward to talk about Larry Nassar. So you can imagine, I'm sure there's plenty more.
Word. Now, the cops shut down a crack-ass cracker who called 911 on black real estate investors.
Now, this happened in Tennessee.
Okay.
All right. A white woman called two police officers because a real estate investor, Michael Hayes, was actually visiting the home next door, and he was inspecting the house and taking pictures before repairs were made. She was basically harassing him and said that he was calling the cops and they would be coming. And he's like, I don't understand. Why would you be calling the cops?
Because she's a white devil.
He actually filmed
all of it.
That's
what white devils do.
I believe we have that audio. Yes. No, we don't. Okay, we don't have the audio. All right, so when the police officers came, they actually shut the woman down and told her that he had every right to be there and that he can take all day and all night if he wants. He's in control. He's got a contract, so that is what it is. And the police officer said if she calls the cops again, she'll actually be in trouble.
That's right, you racist bigot. Okay, you'll go to jail for your racism.
Now,
as it should be.
For every great thing that happens, we all, of course, always see something awful happening. A man actually was going to a restaurant in New York City, in Manhattan. He was going to Fresh Kitchen, and he started just berating the employees and the customers because they were speaking Spanish in the restaurant. He told them they were undocumented. He threatened to call immigration officials on them, and it was all captured on video. Check it out.
Is speaking Spanish to customers when they should be speaking.
Being very violent. I mean, sometimes they...
Every person I listen to, he spoke it, she's speaking it, is America. And I will be following up. And my guess is they're not documented. So my next call is to ICE to have each one of them kicked out of my country. If they have the balls to come here and live off of my money, I pay for their welfare, I pay for their ability to be here.
Yeah. What's his name? Aaron what? Aaron Schlossberg?
Yeah, they did say that he is a lawyer and he works in a nearby law office.
Listen, by the way, all those racist bigots, white devils like Aaron Schlossberg, they know who to play with, okay? They know who to try that with, all right? I know me and my conglomerate would love some of that action. I know Michelle Obama says when they go low, we go high. Not me. When they go low, I take it to the floor with them. You experience a random act of racism like that, you got to give it right back to them, okay? Mm-hmm. He started telling you that
verbally.
You undocumented. Yeah, he started telling you that you undocumented, and he'll call ICE to have you deported. All right, shut up, you crack
talking
ass.
About
cracker,
some, I pay for their welfare.
Devil.
I pay for their ability to be here. You come here and live off my money. The least they can do is speak English.
The least you can do is not eat mayonnaise with a spoon.
Get out of here.
All right, good this. That's the least you could do, Aaron. Okay?
All right, well, that is your front page news. Hey, Envy.
Hey, guys. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Now, if you're listening from New York, New Jersey, I'm sure Boston as well, give yourself a lot of extra time. There is so much flooding out there on the roads. The weather's disgusting. Give yourself a little extra time. I done went detoured around three floods today. So 800-585-1051.
New York, New Jersey, and Boston.
Yeah, those I know they hit heavy with the rain this morning.
You just gave Boston a weather report, huh? People in Boston like, I think it's flooding.
No, it's nasty. They said New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Boston is really nasty this morning. So get it off your chest. Hit us up. Phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, this is Brandy from Hampton, Virginia. How y'all doing?
Hey, Jew Hampton 757, get it off your chest, mama.
I'm just calling to tell y'all that I love the show. It's my second time getting through, and I tried for months. I want to thank God for my life, my kids, my family. Things are beautiful. Things are looking up, and we will get it.
All right.
You are so right. I can't believe that she's been trying and only got through twice, and Trav gets through every day.
Well, thank you for listening, mama.
Because once again, Trav comes through the back door.
Hello, who's this?
Portia.
Hey, Portia, get it off your chest, mama.
I want to get off my chest that I put on social media, I purchased something from the local Fashion Nova.
Uh-oh.
And they still ain't giving me my credit. And I edit Cardi B.
Whoa, stop. I need you to stop for a second. There's a local Fashion Nova? I thought Fashion Nova was only on social media.
It's locally online.
What?
It's
locally online.
How is it local?
What are you talking
okay.
about?
All right.
And I know y'all seen my DM telling y'all to get it off my chest for me because I added Cardi B and asked her to help me out with her street credit. And
I
ain't getting nothing back.
Well, what? Cardi B probably didn't see it because she has,
I know.
Thousands of people hitting her up.
And Cardi B don't own Fashion Nova, boo. Why are you adding Cardi B? You should be adding the people of Fashion Nova.
She's sponsored. She got to look out for the people.
She just felt like maybe Cardi B would have a little more clout.
My goodness. Well, sorry you didn't get your Fashion Nova dress, mama. Was it for something? Was it for prom or was it for something special?
It was for Mother's Day. I had me a nice little, outfit picked out, but I just refused to purchase anything, and they still owe me like $80.
All right, but listen, this is what you do. Send me a DM right now because I do know a couple of people that work there. So I'm going to hit up my guy and send it to him and see if he can help you.
Good luck.
All of y'all going to feel so
Thank
bad.
You.
All of y'all going to feel bad when y'all realize Ivanka Trump is the owner of Fashion Nova.
Hello, who's this?
She's definitely not.
Good morning, Breakfast Club. This is Charlene. Hey, Charlamagne. Hey, G. Hey, B&B. How are y'all?
Charlene.
Get it off your chest.
I just wanted to say that I'm blessed. Within the last 6 years of my life, I've been through a lot. I lost my mom 6 years ago, and me and her were very, very close. It was very sudden. And so, I was overweight and I just had a lot of things going on. And I just recently lost 80 pounds. I'm down to 171.
Okay.
I am sexy as ever. I look like my high school days. I've been a stay-at-home mom. My oldest is 13 and my youngest is 9. I just went back to work for the first time. And I've been working for a year. And, things are just really looking up for me. So I'm just calling to say I'm blessed. I love y'all. Charlamagne, I'm from South Carolina, boo. And them clouds you talking about.
Uh-huh.
Well, we had some of the best rain last night.
Oh, man. So you got some good sleep.
Man, sleep my ass. Oh, I can't say that. I was doing everything but sleep, okay?
There you go.
Hey, now. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you was
about.
Having sex in the rain?
What you talking about? Boy, I lost 80 pounds. Do you know how I wish I could send a picture? I am hot, okay? I am doing it up, and me and my husband have been together 22 years. I'm just blessed.
And he's having fun because you're so much more confident now, too, and happy. So
there
that's
you
great.
Go.
What you talking about? I can put on, look bummy as ever, and nobody can tell me I don't look good. I don't give a damn.
Well, congratulations,
baby. Congrats
to
you, mama.
I definitely was having sex the night before when it was raining. I had that Miguel playing while it was raining. I was wishing it was raining last night. I said that to my wife. Damn, I wish it was raining.
It was raining
Where was I at?
I went to bed at 11:30. It was not raining. I needed some of that rain to go to sleep good.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Get it off your chest, bro.
Hey, man, like I said to the last person, closure is a scam. Don't text them. Don't call them. Don't, hey, how you doing? Like,
what is closure?
Yeah, what's that?
You guys break up. You guys have a fight. Oh, let's talk about it. Let's work it out. Nah. If you guys break up, it's for... Just drop it. Move on.
What happened to you?
He's definitely hurt.
What happened to you?
There's no such thing as closure.
Pretty much, been with the girl for a while.
Oh.
On her cheating. And, I'm done with that.
So you wanted closure.
He's hurt.
Nah. She wanted closure. Well, yeah, I guess both of us wanted like a mutual goodbye, but it ain't happening.
There's no such thing as closure, man. You either with it or you're not. Clearly, y'all not no more.
I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt, boo.
Yeah, I'm sorry, boo boo.
Well, congratulations to the guy. Congratulations to the guy that had sex with your girl, though.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it is what it is.
It's good, right?
Oh, he's hurt.
She got good poo-poo. Somebody got to get it, even if it's not you.
Well, I guess that's closure then.
And it's okay to be hurt, okay? It's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Yo, at that man on Twitter, tell him congratulations. He banging a good one, all right?
Damn it, man.
Just not good for you.
You guys are not helping. Hello, who's this?
Hello, it's Rachel.
Hey, Rachel, get it off your chest.
I was calling to say I am so blessed this morning. My new interactive children's book is climbing the charts on Amazon.
Okay, congratulations. What's the name? What's the name of the book?
It's called Amber's Magical Savings Box. It teaches kids about earning and saving money, giving those millionaires a head start on their road to financial freedom.
How is it interactive?
Oh, that's dope.
Well, the kids have to write their financial dreams and goals inside the back of the book. They follow Amber as she earns money for this magical toy she wants to buy, and they have to kind of like walk along with her in this journey.
All right, that's good. Teaching kids the value of how to save and spend.
What's the name of the book again? I'm going to look it up.
Amber's Magical Savings Box. It's in honor of my niece Amber we lost at the age of 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for ages 3 to 8-year-olds just to get them started. It's a few that can do savings journals in the back of it and everything.
Okay, thank you, Mama.
All right, I like
thank
that.
Thank you.
All righty. You know what? And the other day a lady called and was like her son was addicted to Fortnite and she couldn't get her son off Fortnite. You know, these kids are making money off of Fortnite. I don't know if that lady knows, but she should guide her son into making money off of it. My son is into Twitch, and he does tutorials on Fortnite, and they pay him to do it.
I still think it's some type of social engineering that's intellectually making these kids stupid, though. They can't spend all their time on video games, bro.
All the time on video games, of course not, but some of these kids are on there. Like, my son does it about, what, an hour a day, an hour and a half a day?
Will he be able to make a living off that when he's 30 or 40, though?
A lot of kids are.
Yeah, you know what is great is that a lot of kids are learning how to do things in the tech world just because they know how to use these games. But you just have to help them take it a step further, whether it's learning how to code, create their own apps.
You're right.
But, yeah, it is if you can help guide them to how that can help them make money and they're interested in something, monetize you got to figure out how to cultivate that.
Don't let them be hypnotized by that video game all day and just spend their time twiddling their thumbs, literally.
There's a kid named Ninja who's making like $300,000-$400,000 a month off of Twitch.
I've heard of Ninja, and I'd like to know how many other ninjas out there.
There's a bunch of them. There's a lot of them kids out there.
They
like
might not be making that much, but there's definitely kids out there making money.
Absolutely.
And I know when I was that age, I wasn't making money doing anything. So if you could figure it out and help nap. The problem is I think that as the older generation, we don't understand some of the things that these kids are doing, and we got to be more involved in like figuring it out.
Yes, and can you make a career out of that? That's what I want.
You can.
Yeah, you absolutely can.
So, I don't know. Let's see.
No, you can.
I got to talk to somebody 40 years old.
This is the
that's
same
been
thing
doing it.
When I was doing the mixtapes, they was like, "Well, you can't make money off of mixtapes." Well,
maybe they don't do mixtapes no more.
see
what I'm saying?
But you transcended to what's going
on. And that's what you said is right.
To,
like it got
this to that. To
it's
got to
elevate to something else.
And I'm sure it will because these kids are doing it. They done went from YouTube to this.
It's important for you to watch what's
Twitch
happening because the whole world of tech right now, that's what's going to be the money for the future. It's happening right now.
Kids
so
keep
we
got to
figure out
keep
how we can
money,
help
kids
guide them and even put them in programs
absolutely
and teach them how to do things that can actually make them be economically viable with it.
Absolutely. Well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up at any time. Now, we got rumors on the way.
Let's talk about T.I. This was the big story yesterday. What went on with T.I.? Did he get arrested or was he just inconvenienced?
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
All right, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
What's happening? Good morning. Happy Thursday.
And let's get to these rumors. Let's talk T.I.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. Rumor, rumor, rumor. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Nah.
Well, what happened with T.I.? Apparently, he was trying to get home into his gated community. It was 4 a.m., and he got into some type of argument with the guard that was at the gate. Now, according to law enforcement sources, they're saying that T.I. did, in fact, manage to get into his gated community. He didn't have his key, and I guess they had to call Tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And he initially had gotten into an argument with the guard, but then he returned on foot to confront the guard again, and that's when the guard called the cops to the scene, and they ended up arresting him. Also, law enforcement sources are saying that T.I. did not touch or make any type of physical contact with that security guard, but the guard feared that he would be hit.
So why was he arrested if he didn't touch or assault the guy?
During their dispute. So they actually arrested him for disorderly conduct,
and public drunkenness.
And they said simple assault.
I knew it had to be more to this story because the way the story was told yesterday, he pulled up to his gate, couldn't get in, and then the guy called the police on him because they started arguing. But if T.I. came back to talk to the guy probably felt threatened.
Well, they said the guy cursed out his wife, and when he got home,
I'm
going to
tell you the whole story now, guys. Mm-hmm. So T.I.'s attorney says that it actually took Tip some time to wake up the sleeping guard. He was asleep when T.I. first pulled up, and then T.I. identified himself. He tried to get in. The guard refused, and then Tip was in contact with Tiny by phone. Tiny confirmed that Tip should be let in immediately, and the guard continued to refuse entry without justification. So eventually they did let him in, and that's when he actually came back and argued.
Is the guard new? It's got to be a new guard.
I don't know.
It can't be a guard that's been working it.
What the problem is.
Well, now the guard was black.
The guard asked who he was.
I don't know.
He was African American.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
He said he didn't recognize T.I., according to the security guard, so that's why he didn't let him pass. And that's when he said T.I. started basically cursing him out, telling him to open the gate, and eventually he did open the gate.
How you don't recognize T.I. in Atlanta?
that just sounds crazy.
If I was that guard, I wouldn't want to work there anymore, because T.I. is going to give him hell. Now, here's what T.I. had to say.
I guess y'all been hearing all the nonsense. I'm looking like yesterday, man. I was inconvenienced and arrested. With all we done been through, this is small potatoes, man. Major's birthday. I'm here, present, at school. Ain't been to sleep. But guess what? God is good.
I'm just glad T.I. not on probation or parole no more, because that could be a probation or parole violation.
Right. Well, he was released without bail, so that's good news.
Yeah.
But he was actually arguing with the police officer, too, and saying that he has a right as a homeowner in the community to question the security guard working the gate.
Duh.
And the cop did not agree with that. So they did agree, though, to settle matters in court. So that is what's going to happen. The guard said he couldn't find T.I. on the resident directory. You know.
Yeah, because you probably was looking for T.I. You should have been looking for Clifford Harris.
Well, he said he didn't recognize him.
T.I., Rubber Band Man, Tip, okay? Dope boy in the trap.
So he looked for both.
He didn't look for Clifford Harris. That's the problem.
And then Tiny asked the security guard, what's the holdup? Just let him in. And that's when the guard said, who the F do you think you is talking to me like that?
And that probably spoke T.I. You don't talk to my wife like that.
First of all, T.I. probably hated that grandma. Who the F is you to think to talk to me like that? What? T.I. probably was appalled at that type of grammar. Me and you at him at 5 in the morning.
My goodness.
All right, now Wale has signed a new record deal. Congratulations to Wale. He was on Atlantic, but now he is on Warner. So he did announce that he has signed that. He said, this is an exciting step for me. I'm thrilled to be at a company that is willing to showcase my artistry while supporting my entrepreneurial spirit. I felt their passion, commitment, and enthusiasm from day one. They believed in my vision wholeheartedly, and I am ready to show and prove.
Drop on the clues bombs for my guy, Wale. Wale been smoking all year, by the way.
Yeah, he put out his EP, Self-Promotion. He said that's going to be his last independent record, and he had said, new chapter.
Wale has not missed yet all year long, okay? The record he got, Cassius, oh, my God.
And he also has a song called Staying Power out now with Jacquees. Black Bonnie with Jacquees right now.
I haven't heard that one yet.
That's a single.
He just put it out when he made the announcement.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. All right, now Nicki Minaj, she's going to be at Highline Ballroom in New York City. That's her after party for her appearance on Saturday Night Live. That's right, she is going to be on the season finale of Saturday Night Live. They did announce that. And in addition, she posted season finale with the one and only Tina Fey. Gotta be effing kidding me. OMG, she and I are shooting our movie after Saturday's show airs. Yikes, get your whole effing life, hoes. In fact, that's the name of the movie.
No, it's congratulations, called Get Your Life, Nicki
Ugly.
Minaj.
Yeah.
Shout out to Clue. Clue's DJing that after party,
of
too.
Of course he is.
Why you say it like that?
Because it's a nice little Queens loyalty that goes on that you don't know nothing about because you ain't loyal to Queens, Envy.
Ooh.
Okay?
What?
Nicki and Clue are loyal to each other.
Because I speak my mind and I say what's true.
Oh, yeah. You
get mad at
Queens,
me,
okay?
Because I speak my mind and say what's
all
true.
All you bobs need to get on Twitter right now and remind Envy that he's from Queens,
God.
All right?
Don't do this again.
Don't get up off his neck. Y'all was on him last week. Don't let up off him.
Don't do this again.
Vibes on you.
All right? Are you going to the party Saturday?
No.
Why not?
I have other things to do.
Ooh, shady boots.
What you gotta do?
I'm actually doing a show down the block at Club Taj.
So you're doing a competing party.
What, who's hosting
there
that?
Is no competition.
Who's hosting there, Cardi
Here.
Or Cash Doll? Who's hosting it?
All of the above. And Remy, all of them.
They're coming for you, Emmy.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so yeah.
What emoji should they Envy use for Remy, Envy right now?
Envy and Remy are doing a party on Saturday.
They don't say Remy.
Clue and Nikki are doing a party somewhere else.
Which one you gonna go to? Nah, don't say that.
Clue and Nikki.
Look, you keep saying things and then saying don't say
that. Nah, don't say that.
I'll go see Remy.
Nah, Remy's not booked today. That's just me. Oh. At Club Taj.
Don't bring Remy into your mess.
I'm just joking.
All right, Bob's, get on his ass.
Stop all right? It. They've been on my ass the last week. I'm tired. Get off my ass!
Whoa.
All right, that's your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee. Wow. We're going to just keep it moving right now.
I've been trying to figure out why they use the unicorn emoji.
They want to stick that horn up your ass. No, that's
thanks.
Why.
Right. All right, awkward.
Well, here comes
right.
Some more unicorns. I'm going to start it off.
No, thanks. All right, now when we come back, Miguel will be joining us, so we'll kick it with Miguel. So don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, sir.
Miguel.
Splish. What up, bros?
Welcome back.
What's good? What up,
I feel
Angela?
Like I talk to you all the time because your voice is always on in my bedroom. No,
hey,
I mean that in the best of ways.
Hey. All right.
Are you by yourself?
Y'all know I'm a Miguel fan. Like,
I got a feeling it's never by himself, though. That's good.
Never by myself. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
We know it's a purpose. Of the music
exactly. I always said when I saw you again, I was gonna ask, do you think the massive success of Kaleidoscope Dream with the Dawn and How Many Drinks made people not appreciate your projects after that the way they should have?
No, actually, not at all. I think the music finds people at the right time, mm-hmm. you know, and I think at the end of the day, when we're creative, it's just the point is just to create, you know, so regardless of how and when things find. For Kaleidoscope Dream, that was the right time for, you know, that time and mm-hmm. the people that found it. And for all the you know, projects afterwards, it's just, you know, the timing for that. Wild Heart was for that time and mm-hmm. for people that time. And War and Leisure Now is for now, and there's going to be more and more. I'm not stopping, you know?
And you never chase the success of a Dawn or How Many Drinks. That's what I like. Like, Wild Heart don't sound like Kaleidoscope Dream. War and Leisure don't sound like... You know, a Wild Heart. That's what I like.
Well, and Leisure is definitely very timely, it feels like, also.
Love.
It feels like you're very affected by things that are happening.
Try to just be mindful, mm-hmm. you know? It's hard not to acknowledge everything that's just right in front of us all the time. Plus now, we do have, with, like, social media, you know, we're getting to see things as they happen more and more. And also, it's not being let go. It's not being swept under the rug as much as it could have been in mm-hmm. the past with controlled media, you know what I'm saying? So we get to see a lot of things in repetition and things kind of get pushed to the forefront. It's hard to ignore it. You know, I think that's why we get things like the video from Childish Gambino, you know, mm-hmm. that video is incredible, you know, and Kendrick. And we get verses like Cole's on Come Through and Chill, you know, where we're still hearing, even in the middle of a song like Come Through and Chill, we're still being like brought back to current events. And
you chased this
kind of about. A downer, though. I just said, I'm not gonna lie. I actually said that when I was like, I love this record. I just was doing J. Cole, come on, bro. Like, we just trying to get some girls over and have a good time.
Different, you know what I mean? Listen to different things.
Though. It was properly placed, kind of towards, you know.
Yeah.
Put it in the right. He put that in the right space in the song.
Come through and chill. We still want you to come bring that green, you know, and
it's cold over there.
But then when
you talking about body stuff.
That's when you kind of start talking about things like that too. When you really are chilling with somebody, I think you should be able to have those conversations.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'll be on the table, you know.
With the landscape of R&B has changed since I'm sure you were listening to it. You know, do you chase that type of music that can still play on radio? Because you don't hear R&B music anymore on radio. It's not something that you listen to unless you have to go find it. It's not in your face. Like,
although we hear Skywalker every morning.
That's good.
And that's my song. And I hate that it took so long for us to start playing that. Because when that's the first time I heard that song, I was like, that is a hit record.
It's very far off you. Do you chase that?
No, I think it's no longer time for chasing. You know, we can't chase energy. Either the energy is going to come and you're going to let it flow. Are you gonna waste time? It's more about, again, it's just like just putting it out there, like as an artist, and not just like for music. It's across all platforms, you know. I'm creative regardless. If it's with music, if it's with writing, if it's with drawing or doodling or whatever ideas for visuals, photography, this and that. Going to look at like live art performances, mm-hmm. you know, all of these things. It's like we're just putting energy out. You know, and to chase is such a waste of time. I think we all know this and we've learned it. That's why you guys are here.
Mm-hmm.
You stop chasing it, the energy's coming to you, and you know how to just reciprocate. And once I think we learn how to do all that, that's the war and leisure of life, you know? You just figure out what your energy is and how to give it in the best way, and it just always reciprocates, and that's the beauty of the whole thing.
And it is a waste of time because you're not doing what you want to do to begin with, and if you make a record like that and it's not what you're really feeling and it comes out and it flops, then it's like, damn.
Yeah, you start to learn, too. It's like people, especially now, it's like we see right through bullshit.
Yeah, you know.
It's like people just want the real anyway.
I love, I said it earlier, do you switch up your messaging and your energy on purpose every album? Like, do you purposely say, I'm not doing that now?
I felt a need to, and not felt, I think it's always like every day wanting to level up, you know? And not that, I mean, I guess that's kind of like the, yeah, everyone, you know, we all want to level up. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the intention, you know? It's like, okay, what else do I have, you know, to give? And that's why the albums sound different, because my life is evolving. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like changing.
We see that with your look evolving at the same time, too.
Yeah, you know?
You got dreads now?
Yeah, the locks, you know?
The locks. Yeah, what made you do that?
I don't know. We got better things to talk about than my hair, though.
Yeah, the look change. And I was like, yeah, I remember.
You know, you remember when I had the Caesar?
The Caesar.
I couldn't even grow hair. Remember? I couldn't even grow hair on my face. It's funny.
You started eating more. What happened?
I guess so. You know, I guess so. Yeah.
Wait, you couldn't grow hair on your face? You were trying.
It just wouldn't. It wouldn't fill in. You know, it just wouldn't fill in.
You know? Now, you also, I saw, went to Mexico and met that side of your family. How did that impact you?
That changed my life, for real, Angela. It really did. And not in a way that's like, it just made my connection to my family deeper. You know, it's like, okay, we know that, you know, our family makes sacrifices. And you've seen it. You saw, like, you know, your immediate family, if it's your mother or your father or whoever it is you grew up, they made sacrifices. And you got to see that. But we often forget that not only did they, it's like their parents and all of the people before them. So going back to Mexico, to Zamora, Michoacán, that's where my family's from, you know? My grandmother, rest in peace, she left there on her own and came to the States as an immigrant and started working to provide for her family. And it took 3 years before my dad could come up. My grandfather was taking care of the family there because she wasn't earning enough money to bring everybody out at the same time. Mm-hmm. So she came first. She worked for a hospital and sent money, you know, and over the course of 3 years, then my family was able to move up, you know, and she gave up her dreams. You know, she also was in love with music, sang on the radio with her sister. And I just think of the sacrifices. So when I went back there, it just really made it deeper because I just realized, like, how much sacrifice goes into giving us the opportunities that we have now.
You know? Now, what made you want to embrace your roots more? Was it the community saying, hey, man, you one of us?
I guess for just creating, I guess I just was like, all right, what else is there? And wanting to dig deeper.
Like exploring the whole totality of yourself, kind of.
Yeah,
and
really,
that connection of your roots, because sometimes until you go somewhere and meet people, you don't even understand what that feeling is like.
It's weird because I grew up with all of my family. You know, all of my tías and my tíos are all pretty much, there was a concentration, at least growing up, they all lived in Inglewood, where my dad grew up in the States, you know? So I knew all of my tías and my tíos, my nana, my tata, they all lived in a small area. We spent a lot of time together, so I grew up with a real tight-knit family and really understood what the culture, you know, Mexican culture was in my life, you know?
And they hold it serious to you, too. They, like, they put you on a pedestal of that community, and they have from the very beginning. And I noticed that no matter where I go, especially in L.A., like, when it's a Mexican community or that community, they hold you to the highest level. I think that's dope. I think our communities need support to support each other like they support you.
I feel like that's happening, though. I really do feel like it's starting to, like, for Black culture, I think it's being pushed into the forefront that there needs to be a support system and a unity, regardless of, you know, way of life or taste and this and that. I think it's, like, more about celebrating and uplifting each other just because it's like, no, we are all we have, you know?
Right.
And the culture has been stripped and systematically pulled from Black people here in the United States, where the culture is just capitalism, you know? And so now we're starting to look at it and go, oh, hold up. Nah. Look at how these cultures that were raised with, like, where family is the unity, is the unit and the nucleus of all of it, and let's mimic that. And we're starting to see that with, you know, I just think, like, through social media and because of having to address all of the real issues is starting to happen.
All right, we got more with Miguel. When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Miguel in the building. Charlamagne?
You're doing a Spanish album too, right?
We're doing a Spanish version of this album, War and Leisure.
War and Leisure. Yeah, oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
How far
along
are you with that? Because I know you did, you already did a couple of songs.
We're pretty deep in it. I'm super excited, man. We're actually almost done. I'm going to Mexico actually tonight.
Because I know it's going to have a different type of flow.
Yeah, so I was going to say, is that difficult?
Yeah, to change the words up. And
It's a completely different. A whole other game. It's a whole other game. Because you're trying to convey the message, but actually, I think Spanish is a much more poetic language. All the languages of love are, like, just way more poetic.
Right.
But it also makes it, you know, and the rhyming is different. So they say when you learn a different language, your mind is, like, rewired to think in a different way because the words have different connections to each other. So it's been dope to kind of, like, you know, do iterations in Spanish and try and get the same idea.
I've been listening to Spanish music and I have no idea what it's being said.
You got to hear Skywalker in Spanish. It's
like, I love Duda. That's my song.
Yeah,
and I
run
to that song all the time and I listen to it over and over, but I have no idea. I don't even know what Duda means.
Caramelo Duda. That's like just hard candy.
Oh.
Just, yeah.
Hard candy. Like mints and stuff?
Yeah, like penis.
What's wrong with you, bro? Can you give me a little Skywalker in Spanish? How that sound?
The Spanish version goes, déjate llevar por la sensación, relajar y fluir, a cerrar la noche. I'm Luke Skywalking on his haters. Celebramos llegando más alto. No creo que sea el final. Lo bueno es está por llegar. No duerma, ven a volar. No duerma, ven a volar. Yeah.
Did you know how to speak Spanish before?
I learned, you know, growing up, spending a lot of time with my dad's family, especially in the summers, mm-hmm. I was speaking fluent Spanish, like, with my nana, my tata, and my tios, and my tias over the summers, and then I would leave and completely kind of lose it because I was between my parents are divorced. So I spent a lot of time in the summer with my father's family and kind of, like, every other weekend. For those of you who, you know, understand, like, how they do divorces and how it's been, it's normally, like, alternating weekends, however you got, you know, your parents get it arranged. But for us, I spent a lot of time in the summer. So over the summer, I would be, by the end of the summer, I'm like, I could speak Spanish. Yeah, and then, yeah, over, it's just practice.
What's normal anyway, right?
I
feel like that record seems to fit this era more than it did 2 years ago.
Crazy. Yeah, What's Normal Anyway off of Wild Heart. That was a good time, man. That's probably one of my favorite tours I've done. You know, I felt it was a real connection to my core audience, like real fans of Miguel that are just like, we're fans of anything you create. And it was all centered around What's Normal Anyway, which is all just about going, at the end of the day, when you realize that there really is no standard and all of this is designed to make you feel like you gotta fit inside some kind of box. When you realize that there is no box, you start to just be like, oh man, like, you can be and do and thrive in the way that you really should. Because you can just acknowledge, like, no, this is who I am, this is what I want, this is what I believe in, regardless of all of the things that we are taught and pushed to believe and look for and strive for. So,
that's why I feel like in this era right now, it's like, what is normal? All the blueprints of whatever you thought has been ripped up nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful thing, again, but that's how it leads into War and Leisure.
And who wants to be normal anyway?
You know, it's a lot of people who say they don't want to be normal or there, and it's like, it's still a lot of copy-paste, you know? I think everybody, it's hard to, like, not pull your phone out and just look at what everyone else is doing. That's programming.
Yeah.
Even if it's subconscious, you're still seeing and able to go, oh, this is what this person is doing.
Oh, yeah, a lot of social engineering going on nowadays.
Yeah, it's insane. But,
why
you know.
Why are you wearing two watches?
One for New York Time, one for LA Time. Because a lot of the business, you know, by Storm Entertainment, big shout out to Mark Pitts. That's here.
Okay.
RCA, that's here. So business hours here, I got to be up for business hours in New York and then, you know, LA.
Now, you have such a connection with your fans, and I've seen you out and about interacting with people, and you love your fans. But do you have certain rules? Because sometimes you take pictures with people, and it could be something that they post.
You're a couple now.
Yeah. Or
right.
anything could
happen. Yeah. You know, it's it's definitely posed some challenges, and learning experiences.
Yes, absolutely.
So what does that mean for you? Because sometimes it's difficult. You love your fans, but then you don't know if somebody's going to post you and say something crazy.
I think at the end of the day, it's just discretion. And also, we're not stupid. Like, we see what kind of culture it is now. So, one, just being absolutely aware of what it is. And it's okay to be respectful, you know, and also say no. You know, and decline. There's a time. It's just a time. Is it? No, no,
no. No, I, no, I'm saying that's why they look at
other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, you just got to be like, no, I mean, I'm not an asshole. Yeah. If you knew better,
right?
You know, all good. And if that's what you think after the interaction, then that's you. That's your reality.
I've never seen you say no to anybody.
Well, I have politely. Really? You know what I'm saying? Even more so now because I understand what happens when you don't say no at the wrong time. Yeah. You know. So, you know, it's just learning experiences. I appreciate that you didn't just go ahead and just jump all the way in, but you asked me in a really in a dope way. Thank you. Thank
what's
you.
The really, what's the jumping all the way in?
Yeah, what am I missing?
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
Good job.
No, because mm-hmm. I'll just say it, because there was a moment two years ago where I took a photo with someone and they accused me of something that I didn't do. And that's the part where you go, okay, hold up. This is real life now. You know what I mean? Now it's like the attention that you're bringing is not the kind of attention that I'm putting out there. I don't want that kind of
my
attention.
Home is tough,
you know
right
what I'm saying? Yeah,
I missed that whole moment.
I don't
even remember that.
Yeah, good. It's just kind of like,
good. Let's not rehash.
Please no. Yeah, you guys can Google it and see exactly what happened. But
and be Google now, please.
Yeah. But that's the, again, I keep saying this. That's why War and Leisure was the proper title for this album. It's because life is about learning and leveling up. It's about absolutely. Understanding, all right, what can I do better now? And because you have a moment where you're like, oh, you know what? That wasn't the right choice. I could have done that better. Mm-hmm. Looking at it and studying the tapes and going, I can do that better next time and doing it better, that's the War and Leisure of it all. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think this album is the most relatable, because that's how I approach the whole thing. It's like, how can I connect with my fans and just explain that, like, life is worth celebrating even through all the bullshit that we're seeing and dealing with, not only on like a social level, community level, as an individual. We all go through hard lessons, right. You know what I'm saying? Or challenging times, trying, you know, our patience, trying our integrity, trying our beliefs, you know, our real beliefs. And it's how we come out of those things that really show us who we are. And there's so much to celebrate in that. When you come out on the other side and you're like, yeah, cool, I'm better.
That's you know? What I love about, like, you know, in Oakland, I think a couple of days ago, when the woman called the police on the black people that were having the cookout, and then the very next day they came back with
more
people
bigger cookout.
And partying and dancing. Yeah. And I was looking at Amanda Seale's Instagram, and she had an idea, like, yo, we should do that all the time. Like, go party at Waffle House. Don't buy nothing.
Yeah.
But just 100 people show up, order water, and just have a ball. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we should do that more.
Yeah.
Find a way to celebrate.
And there's positive ways to address what that teaches us, is there's positive ways to address, like, negativity, mm-hmm. you know? I think that's a new thing, I think, which is exciting. It's like seeing people go, oh, man, I'm going to support positive energy. I'm going to meet the negativity with positive energy threefold. Everyone starts to look at the problem and go, that was stupid.
Right. Yeah,
more people want to be where the positivity is at, period.
All right, we got more with Miguel when we come back. Let's get into a Miguel mini mix. Let me know your favorite Miguel joint. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was a Miguel mini mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Miguel's in the building. Now, I heard you meditate. How important is meditation to you?
Ooh, it's definitely changed the game for me.
How?
It's made understanding when I'm not in the moment and completely like calm, it's made me notice it, you know? And then I can go, I could check myself. I was just having a conversation with my boy, and we all go through stuff, and we were just, you know, he just let me know what's going on. I was like, man, the thing is like, it's so hard to stop looking back.
Right.
Again, War and Leisure, you know? It's like, we look back because that's what we know, but we can't change that. We can't change what's behind us. We can only change or affect what's happening later. And right now is the moment to do it. Time, the pages are going to turn. Time is going to move forward. And whether or not you're aware of it or you're paying attention to it, tomorrow's going to come. Mm-hmm. The next minute, the next hour, the next blah, blah, blah. All that is coming regardless. So the moment we focus on here and now and get our minds off of the past or tomorrow, the more we're able to live in a way that really makes us happy right here and now. And
sometimes
the more we do it, you know?
Obsess so much over things that have happened already when we should be focusing on how we can affect what's about to happen next. And that's so true.
Just now, you know? It's just about right now, always.
The power of now. How good of a meditator are you? Because it's very difficult for me.
I mean, I still suck at meditating.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard. I didn't say I was good at it.
My therapist is teaching me, like, some good exercises, but it's hard to, like, just turn this off.
It is.
It's hard, man.
It's like, though, it took me a long time to, I got like dad body right now, so it's been nice. I've been enjoying a lot of beans and rice, you know.
Damn, you really embracing this Mexican thing.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've always been the beans and rice always been in the staples, but it was hard. It's like working out, you know. You work out, first time you work out you might throw up because your body's not used to it. But then you'll be sore the next day or the next time you work out, but then you work out and your body starts to adjust and blah, blah, blah. And like this, you see bodybuilders or you see people who are getting in shape. It was hard the first time. If you're doing yoga, whatever, you may not be as able to do the exercise. But as you do it and you continue, you start to see the benefits. And it's no longer like it's not about the struggle of doing it. It's about the happiness you feel afterwards, you know. So whenever it gets more challenging, because some days are easier than others or sometimes are easier than others, I just remind myself, I always feel good afterwards, you know?
Gotcha. Come through and chill. Has the Me Too Time's Up movement caused you to slow down on just inviting chicks over?
I mean, I think life has definitely made me, you know.
Yeah.
I'm engaged now, you know.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm engaged.
I feel like you've been in a relationship for quite some time, so you haven't had those issues.
Yeah, it's definitely been, I've been blessed.
Yeah,
I've been
goodness.
Blessed. Yeah. But, I think the Me Too movement is, I don't think that's what it was for me, you know. That's not what it was for me, but, I don't know. That's all I have to say.
He was engaged. That's why. Ain't nobody I'm coming good. Over
I
and chilling.
I was like, yeah, no.
Not, isn't it nice that being in a relationship can keep you out of a lot of trouble?
I've definitely rolled the dice in the past and being able to just focus on the fact that I have a real teammate, someone that's been by my side, that I'm a ride for, and that really, really loves me for me. And I love her for her. It completely frees your mind up and time up for like things that really matter or your real goals. I think that's what happens. You start to be like, oh, I got all this time now.
Right.
When you focus on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why. Here's the 2 watches.
Yeah. You've been engaged for a minute though, right?
Yeah.
You scared? Butterflies? Anxiety? What's up?
Busy.
busy. It's there's like I wasn't aware of all like the planning that goes in. I didn't know all of it.
Oh man.
You know,
well, let me help you out, homie. Let her do it and just say yes, babe.
Trust me, that's what.
Yes, babe. Whatever you want, babe. Yes, babe.
Yeah.
That's
I love it.
Are you gonna write a special song?
That's
for
what
the
I'm
wedding?
Saying. That Miguel marriage music gonna be fire.
If I
that's
do.
That's going to be a banging song.
There's been so many so far, but like I'm forever inspired by her, you know? So I'm sure the music is going to come. That's always going to come.
You already made a fire wedding song. Adorn is a phenomenal wedding record.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You know you're going to be performing that when you're 60, 70,
that's
right?
That's a timeless song.
Exactly.
It's a timeless song. It'll be here forever. You
do
know?
You picture what your wedding's going to be like?
Cookouts.
Yes.
You know 100%. What I'm saying?
In your head, are you like, okay, I want a big wedding. I want this to happen.
We already have big families. Between my father's side, look, my mom and my dad both have, my mom has seven siblings. My father has 9 total. Ooh. It's total 9. So, and then they all have children,
kids, right.
You know? And her family is Persian and Mexican Spanish, so there's just a lot of siblings there, or a lot of family on
that's
that
gonna
side.
Be a real party.
Yeah. So you know,
so like
it's been fun.
600 people, you think? 700?
No, we can't go that far. I actually like to. I mean, I keep a lot of things very chill. You know, I like to focus on the music and whatnot. So we're not trying to make it like some, you know, extravaganza. We want it to be like a family event. You know, for us. So It'll be as small as we can keep it. Okay. That's the war and leisure of it all, trying to figure out how
that's
to keep the balance.
You're gonna be like, oh, you're not gonna invite your family you just met in Mexico.
And yeah, we're only telling family to come through and chill. You know, family, friends. You know, keep it small.
Is Salaam Remy your favorite producer?
Man, he's definitely a GOAT. One of my favorite producers of all time, and one of the best mentors.
Y'all had great chemistry.
Our first time working, the fact that I was able to be like, do you mind if I just write this like by myself? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And just kind of sit with the music. And that's the thing about Salaam. He knows how to jump in and how to like take us. There's an art in that, mm-hmm. you know, it's an art to helping an artist have the inspiration they need, giving them the inspiration they need, and then knowing when to. And that's why he's timeless, because mm-hmm. he could jump in and he knows how to play. He plays the game. Oh, what you need me to do? You need a quarterback? Oh, okay, you want me to run the ball? You know what I'm saying? You want a lob? You know what I'm saying? You need the bullet? What do you need? And he doesn't have to ask the question. He just has a conversation with you. And then he's like, okay, I know how to get this to the finish line. You know, I know how to make this a touchdown.
I'd love to see y'all do like a whole project together.
Me too. Yeah, yeah. Me too. Me too. Yeah.
I'm sure y'all got some stuff in the stash.
There's a few. Him, Rafael Saadiq, man. One of the greatest of all time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's been relevant for decades, and yet and still, like, people are still not really aware of all of the things he's done.
He's dope because he's in groups. He plays the background. He's a solo artist.
Yeah. Rafael is one of the greatest of all time, and he's a real musician. Real musician. Loves music. Not about all of the hoopla or anything like that. Creates timeless music.
What's the next body of energy you gonna give us?
I'm about to just start putting music out. I'm about to get back to a lot of Miguel stuff. You know, I think it's been fun to work with like outside producers and people that, you know, to try things and collaborations, but I'm about to just go like just do Miguel stuff. Back to just producing my music and putting it out like this. As soon as I produce it.
No more. RCA don't want to hear that.
Like, oh, no, they're about it. They're about it.
Look at the streaming money.
I got ByStorm. You know what I'm saying? Right, like, RCA is about to roll with it because Mark's with me. You know?
Got you.
ByStorm Entertainment. You know?
There you go. Well, we thank you for joining us.
It's my always man, a Miguel. Pleasure. Always
about
a pleasure.
To put together a great Miguel mix for later today. For
yeah.
me to work out to.
Yeah. Oh,
they could be a meditation mix and then a workout mix.
I wonder what would be the meditator stuff. What would we go with? More Ooh. Stuff from... What would be more? More Kaleidoscope Dream stuff, you think?
Ooh.
Meditative?
I think it's a mix.
Wow, so
we can put everything.
As quiet as it is kept, like songs like N.W.A., they put me in a good vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As quiet as it's kept, I know the content is edgy, but it just puts me in a good vibe.
A like, yeah,
sit back, smoke something. Exactly. Smoke cognac, you know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly.
Don't let me no smoke.
I went on vacation.
All right. It's Miguel.
Yeah.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good Lish. Morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor Report. Rumor Report. This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Angie Martinez did an hour and a half long interview with J. Cole. And you know, J. Cole doesn't do interviews too frequently. And the interview was filmed in Miami at Salaam Remy's house. That was before J. Cole performed at the Rolling Loud Festival. And among the things he talked about was Kanye West and what Kanye said in support of Donald Trump. Here's what he had to say about that.
So you're not going to sit here and do anything to sell your album. You're not going to tweet anything to sell
your
album.
There you go.
That's a difference.
Okay. To me, that's the danger in what he's doing. I feel like he's really good at sampling language that will resonate. And it just so happens this time he sampled the wrong Ultimately, the end goal is so I can be more powerful and viewed as boom, boom, boom. I'm not comfortable unless I sit in that seat. That's cool when you're promoting some fashion that don't really concern me, don't really jeopardize my life as a black man. But when you come and you like empower, then it's like, bro, like I can't rock with that.
I agree with everything he's saying, except for the fact I don't think Kanye was using this to promote his album, because this isn't new language Kanye speaking. Kanye first voiced his support back in 2016.
But Kanye also hasn't been tweeting really before this. So now that he has an album coming, he's on
Twitter.
I don't
think it was to promote his album. I just think he's getting things off his chest and things off his mind. I don't think it was, even though it's wrong, dead
well,
wrong.
Well, I mean, coincidentally enough, he does have an album coming out.
Yeah, so. But he first voiced his support for Trump in 2016 anyway to go visit Trump. And I just think I think it's ignorant what he's doing because he's not aware of what Trump is doing to minorities in this country. He just likes Trump's for his style. But his reason for supporting Trump is ignorant as hell.
All right, now, in addition, he talks about the whole free thinking, and here's what he had to say about Kanye's free thinking.
Somebody else sees this as like, that's right, love is the answer. It's like, yeah, those are nice catchphrases, and those catchphrases are true.
Or free thinking.
Yes.
Catchphrase.
Yes, free thinking, but it's not free thinking. It's enslaved thinking. It's thinking that's a slave to your own ego. You're not free thinking when your ego is pulling the strings, but it's a nice catchphrase.
It's a good catchphrase.
That's very easy to catch on to.
Yeah.
Like, make America great again. Be sounding good, but it's like, what's the intention here? Is it for the people or is it for this one person? To me, Trump is like a similar figure. This is a dude who the only end goal is I gotta be the man.
He's right about that. And you can't be a free thinker if you are committed to one political party, because if you are committed to a particular party, then you have their ideas and their thoughts and you regurgitate a lot of their rhetoric.
That's so not a lot free of what people were all. Saying after that, Kanye, was, oh, free thinking. Oh, you guys are against free thinking. It was kind of quiet.
That's not free thinking if you're connected to one political party.
All right. Now, in addition, what about this J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar collaboration album? Well, J. Cole disappointed a lot of people with this.
We just did a few songs, like a bunch of ideas, put it like that.
Right.
It was nothing like, you wouldn't call it an album, you wouldn't call it nothing like that.
So that's not a real thing. That's like some fantasy thing.
It didn't come from nowhere. It came from us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's not like it's something that's actively happening.
They shouldn't get their hopes up?
Nah. Not because it's never gonna happen, just because it's like, it's not right now. And I don't like teasing. It would have been easier back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now it would be like, yo, you really gotta block off a lot of time.
I think you should do it. Yeah. Do it for the people.
All right.
I'd love to hear that, though.
In addition, you know, J. Cole has a whole lot of music in the vault, and he does want to make sure that everybody gets to hear it. Here's what they said about that.
And is there another album coming, like, right away? Because you kind of teased
I'm going to drop more music for sure.
But it's not an album?
The album that I was talking about, you're talking about The Fall Off.
Yes.
That probably won't come for another year. The False Prophets was supposed to be on The Fall Off. Everybody Dies in False Prophets that I put out before For Your Eyes Only. Were songs from The Fall Off.
But so you just have songs that like sit up that.
Oh yeah, I'm working on. I got Kill Elway album I'm working on. And then I think I have an EP for The Fall Off. I don't know how and I got more music. You know, I don't want to like look back 20 years and have a big vault of music.
All right, in addition, Edward, a lot of people found out from Kill Edward, that is the name of J. Cole's stepfather. Well, here's what he had to say about Kill Edward and his stepdad.
I feel like not kill him, physically. I actually haven't had no problem with the dude. Like, I would speak to him today. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, you know, thinking about, like, man, I need to go find this dude, like, and have a conversation with him.
Because I wonder if this has reached him.
Well, maybe now. But when I say Kill Edward, what I'm talking about is, like, the shit that I feel like I inherited from him. Mm-hmm. That I feel like I wanted to overcome and beat.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, oh, I got that from him. There's some shit in me that's like, I don't like it. That's the shit I want to kill off.
All right, and last but not least, what I have for you right here is him talking about understanding his stepfather and his backstory.
I understand now that, like, whatever was happening, he was going through
what he was going through,
100%. which comes from whatever in his life that happened. You know, I don't even know. I know a little bit about his life, you know, just from, like, clearly being around him all them years, but I don't know the traumatic that he went through as a kid that, like, caused him to be X, Y, and Z. There was parts of him I liked. He was cool as to me. Like, you know, like, it was, like, good and bad.
Yeah.
Like, on one hand, like, I kind of looked up to him. But on the other hand, he was putting his hands on us. At the time, I was young, and it was just like, this is just what it is.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report. But make sure you go and check out that entire interview with Angie Martinez and J. Cole.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, Charlamagne.
Yes, sir.
Who you giving that donkey to?
Oh, man, we need a cracker-ass, cracker-white devil to come to the front of the congregation this morning. We need Aaron Schlossberg to come to the front of the congregation. We would like to have a word with him. And always remember, if you are more mad at me for calling a racist a cracker-ass cracker than you are the actual racist, then you're probably a cracker-ass, cracker-white devil, too, and you can kiss my black ass. 4 after the hour, donkey today. Let's talk about it.
This guy, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne, say the gang, donkey of the day.
Charlamagne. You are a donkey.
It's time for donkey of the day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the donkey of the day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit it with the heel.
Yes, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Ed Sheeran, good morning. Donkey of the Day for Thursday, May 17th, goes to a New York-based lawyer named Aaron Schlossberg. Okay, his law firm is the law office of Aaron M. Schlossberg. And all day yesterday, his law firm was flooded with one-star reviews on Yelp. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in the world we live in, life is about calling an ace a ace, a spade, and a bigot. Oh, the front of the New York Daily News today got it right. It has a picture of Aaron Schlossberg in the headline, okay? New York's message, the bigot who yelled at women for speaking Spanish in a restaurant and in big, bold black letters. It says, what does that say, Drum? Give Drum the mic. What does it say, Drum?
Jódate, idiota.
Jódate, idiota.
Why you ain't ask me?
Shut up. See, that's why diversity matters, okay? Drop one of Clues bombs for yourself, Drum. All right? Okay, say that again for me. Jodeci what?
Jódate, idiota.
I ain't not you. Put Gibbs.
Jódate, idiota.
Jódate, idiota. Means screw you, idiot. Right, Drum?
Yep.
Okay. Now, Drum knows that because he's Puerto Rican, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, just found that out, too. But more importantly, all right, the New York Daily News called Aaron Schlossberg a bigot. All right, and that is the kind of language that has to be used when we are discussing people who blatantly are being prejudiced, okay, blatantly racist. Why are we sugarcoating things when it comes to bigots in this country? Why? Why, if I call a blatantly racist person a crack-ass, cracker, white devil, why are you more mad at me than you are the person who is actually being racist? I'm just picking up what this racist is putting down, all right, giving them back the same energy they share with the world. If it talks like a racist, oppresses like a racist, and marginalizes like a racist, then it's probably a crack-ass, cracker, white devil racist, okay? Now, let's discuss what happened. This all went down at the Fresh Kitchen in Midtown Manhattan, okay? A Honduran immigrant, an employee of Fresh Kitchen named Oscar Villanueva. Did I pronounce that right?
Villanueva, yes.
Drop on the Clues bombs for me, guys.
No, you didn't do it right, though.
He did.
Oh. Well, how am I supposed to do it, you fake Dominican? How am I supposed to do it?
No, my God.
Okay. All right. Oscar says that he, as an Aaron, heard us speaking Spanish and started yelling, it's no need for me to tell you what... he, as an Aaron, heard us speaking Spanish and started yelling. Okay, yeah. End quote. It's no need for me to tell you what Aaron Schlossberg said. I will let you hear it for yourself.
Is speaking Spanish to customers when they should be speaking.
Being very violent. I mean, sometimes they...
Every person I listen to, he spoke it, she's speaking it, is America. Because I will be following up. And my guess is, they're not documented. So my next call is to ICE to have each one of them kicked out of my country. If they have the come here and live off of my money, I pay for their welfare, I pay for their ability to be here.
Now, let me break it down for the people in the back who are probably acting like they didn't hear him so well, but can hear me calling him a crack-ass cracker quite fine. Okay, Aaron Schlossberg says, your staff is speaking Spanish to customers when they should be speaking English. Every person I listen to, he spoke it, she's speaking it. This is America. Then he says, my guess is they're not documented, so my next call is to ICE to have each one of them kicked out of my country. If they have the balls to come here and live off my money, I pay for their welfare, I pay for their ability to be here, the least they can do is speak English.
Shut up.
Then the colonizer said, if you intend on running a place in Midtown Manhattan, your staff should speak English, not Spanish. And as a woman tried to engage Aaron, Aaron said just before he walked out, he turned around and said, honey, I'm calling ICE. Okay? Now, I know people love to say Donald Trump supporters aren't racist, but for the record, according to the New York Daily News, Aaron Schlossberg is a registered Republican and 2016 donor of $500 to our Celebrity in Chief's campaign. Listen, I love it. All right, the reason I love it is because you can't hear what you don't reveal. F all that covert racism. I like my racism overt because when we know what it is, we can avoid it. And not just avoid it, destroy it. Well, maybe not destroy it, because racism will always have a place in our society, because sadly in America, it's millions of people like Aaron who think just like him, so he will always have support. But that doesn't mean we can't expose him for the bigot he is. And Aaron needs to be shamed. And anyone who supports him after this needs to be shamed, because we have to start treating racists in America the same way we treat rapists, the same way we treat pedophiles, okay? That's how we need to treat these crack-ass, cracker white devils. And all my good white people out there, I need you all to start using your privilege to combat prejudice. When you see one of your own being a bigot like Aaron in public like this, walk up to them and say, hey! You're really being a crack-ass cracker right now. okay? White people, when you see your own acting like bigots in public, are private. Check them, and check them hard, okay? Draw a line in the sand between you and them. It's simple, okay? And minorities, when they out here throwing around these falsehoods in public, when they say things like Aaron said, they're not documented and they're on welfare, scream out to them, the white devil is a liar, okay? And once again, if you are more mad at me for calling a racist bigot a cracker-ass cracker white devil than you are the actual racist, then you are part of the problem, okay? I don't hate white people. I hate racist bigots. It's a difference. Please give Aaron Schlossberg the biggest hee-haw.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that donkey today, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me go on Yelp and leave a bad review.
When we come back, ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can call Yee right now. Again, the number is 800-585-1051. Call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
This is Nakia from Atlanta. Hi, guys.
Hey, Nakia. What's your question for Yeezy?
So, just to have a backstory, I have a nephew. I named him. I bought his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that exposes him to things. I potty trained him. I was the first to take him to the Universal Circus to see the pit bulls and the Rottweilers. You know, so
no pit bulls and Rottweilers.
You're a good auntie.
Definitely pit
You're
bulls
good
and
auntie.
I'm like mama, right? Mm-hmm. So his mother was adamant about him going to Head Start, even though I forbade it. Like, nobody that I know that went to Head Start ended up being a Rhodes Scholar. So I'm like, I want him to go to a different school, but she put her foot down. He goes to
Head Start. Well, that is her son, but go ahead.
Man, don't nobody care about that. So he didn't learn anything. He's 4 years old. He didn't know the basics. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm putting my foot down. He's going to this school. I'm paying for it. So I've been paying for him to go to this school. He loves it. He's learning. And now she won't let my brother get the car to take him to school now. But she let him get the car to take him to Head Start where he wasn't learning anything. So I think you deal with ratchetness a certain way. Like, I want to beat her up.
You like can't beat people up.
Yeah. Well, you, first of all, you love your nephew, so you don't want to beat his mom up.
Why not?
But where is your brother in all of this? Isn't he the
dad? My brother sides with me. He's with me. Like, my nephew is a daddy's baby. Like, he throws stuff at his mom. He's extremely disrespectful to her. You know, like, he doesn't treat us like how he treats his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to get her to understand he's a young black boy. You know, I went to school. I have a master's degree. Education is very important to me. But most of my family has been institutionalized. They've been, you know, even my brother, they've been to prison. You know what I'm saying? I'm like the one that got away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, not on my watch is my nephew going to be a statistic.
Right.
And I'm willing to throw them hands for her.
Well, I don't, but Nikki, I will say, I don't know if throwing them hands is going to make her change her mind. If anything, it might make her even more resistant.
But what should I do? Because, I mean, this is.
I think it sounds to me like she doesn't like the fact that you're interfering with her raising her child as much as you are, but she don't mind the money and things that you're providing, but she also doesn't like you undermining her as a parent. And it seems like you need to figure out a way, if you care about this child, for you and her to be on the same page. And if that means that you have to work on your relationship with her and how you address her about what she needs to do with her son, because it's one thing if you have suggestions and you're trying to help, and it's another thing if you're telling her what she needs to do. Because sometimes people want to feel like they're making the decision also. And so they have to feel like they're involved in that decision-making process. So if that means you present some research and y'all go together to look at the schools and do those things, so she feel like, oh, okay, yeah, this is what I want to do.
Did she not hear me say that the girl is ratchet? Like,
uh-oh.
She does not understand fundamentally how important this is. Like, it's not about me winning or...
But that's probably how she's looking. It seems like that's how she's looking at it.
Clearly.
Right.
But I don't know no way to make her see it. Because she's thinking, oh, well, I turned out fine.
And you're like, and you thinking, no, you didn't.
Don't let your nephew grow up to be a rapper.
This also seems like something that your brother should be dealing with.
But he, like, now, because he called me this morning, and he's, like, upset because they fought this morning about the car. And I had to call my mom to go pick up my nephew across town so that he can go to school. But my mom not going to do that every morning.
Right. Yeah, it seems like he's got to put his foot down and figure out how he can deal with her because that's his child. Mm-hmm. He got to step up to the plate.
She's not white, is she?
No, she's very black.
Very black.
Grabbing at the air, like all that. And she got two that, you know.
See, this is America black.
Yeah, it's just hard because that's their child, and your brother should be the one that's really making these things happen. Like, why is this on you?
He's trying, but it's like he don't know how. I mean, he's just as wretched as her. Like, he results to violence too. Like, oh, this is all we know.
You are somehow, some way, going to have to try to make her feel like she's involved in the decision-making process. Even though you said she ratchet and all of that, if you're doing this for the good of the child, you got to sometimes put your ego, pride, whatever to the side and just, you know, take a deep breath and just go ahead and go in there and be like, okay, let me just make her feel like she's smart, even though you don't feel like she is. And make her feel like, okay, as a mom, I know this is your decision, but I just did some research to help you out and let me know what you think about this and, you know, just try to figure it out.
I'm going to try that first and I'm going to see how that goes. But if she don't start getting on the bandwagon, I'm going to drag her out of house.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's try to avoid that. We don't want her son to see that happen.
All right.
Thank you, Yee.
You're welcome, Nikki.
Good luck, Mama.
Ask nothing wrong with a little dragon, I'm going to be honest with you, man. Yeah. Especially when it comes to the future of a young child. For real, man.
I put you in jail.
So what? I'll go to jail to make sure that this kid got a good future?
800-585-1051. Ask Yee. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Take Yee. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
This is Acacia.
Hey, Acacia. What's your question for Yee?
Okay, so I've talked to multiple people who have been in relationships with their partners for like 5+ years. Uh-huh. And as soon as they get married, like their relationships go completely down the drain. So I know you and Charlamagne are married. I don't know how long you guys dated, you guys, y'all's wife.
Forever.
I've been with my wife 20 years, boo.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. That's what I'm saying. I just wanted to know, like, y'all's opinion. I'm currently engaged, and I think my boy, I don't know what fear he has. Like, I don't know why people's relationships, you know, crumble after they get married. Like, do y'all have any opinions?
Well, that's not always true. So I don't think you can look at anybody's relationships and compare it to what yours is. But I will say there's people that date somebody for 10 years and get married and it doesn't work out. There's people, they get married after knowing somebody for a month and it doesn't matter. It's just really how you work on your relationship. A marriage and a relationship is work. So it's never always smooth. So you just have to make sure that you guys are always communicating with each other and knowing that there's going to be some rough patches, but you're dedicated to working it out together.
Yes, ma'am.
I think sometimes you look at what other people are doing in their relationship and compare that to what is going on in yours, and you can't do that.
Yeah, because it's crazy how that y'all can be together for 6-7 years, and then as soon as y'all get married, it's like, I want a divorce. It's just weird. I was just wondering how that happens, but that's completely true. Like, you can't look at everybody's relationship, so.
I'm sure you also know people that have stayed together.
Yes, I do.
Right, so yes, stop ma'am. Focusing on the negative, and if you're, don't even just block everybody else out, because no matter what happens with you, that has nothing to do with what anybody else has going on. And I think that's sometimes what our issue is. You know, we let other people's negativity influence us, and it's not a good thing to do.
Yes. Thank y'all so much.
Just remember, communication. Everything is communication. I've been with my wife 24 years. We've been married 17 last Sunday, and everything is communication.
Beautiful.
It's going to be good.
Yes,
it's going to be bad. But as long as y'all sit down and talk it through and be honest, y'all always get to a great outcome. Never go to sleep upset or mad. That's the key. Never go
and
to
when
upset,
he cheats, forgive him.
Shut up.
That's very important.
And Acacia, congratulations to you on your upcoming wedding.
Thank you, ma'am. Congrats to y'all, too. Thank y'all so much.
Remember, communication, mama.
And when he cheats, forgive him. That's very important.
Has nothing to do with cheating.
We've actually gone through that, yeah. So we're good on the forgiving part. We're good.
Okay, you just remember that. All right?
I'm going to thank you, Charlamagne.
Good luck, mama.
I don't know what she said. I just hope she said, I'm going to forgive him, Charlamagne. That's what she said, right? That's what I heard in my
head. I don't know what she said. Okay. They're going to communicate.
All right. ASCII 800-585-1051. We got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, and speaking of relationships, we have a big congratulations to give out to one of our favorite people on social media.
All right, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Whitney Houston. It's
time. She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, there's a new documentary about Whitney Houston that premiered at the Cannes Film Festival, and it premiered Wednesday night, and it is going to be released on July 7th. And among the things that were revealed in this new documentary, which, by the way, was done in conjunction with the cooperation of Whitney Houston's family, is the fact that Whitney Houston was molested by Dede Warwick at a very young age.
Wow. Who was Dede?
Dede is Dionne Warwick's sister.
Mm.
Okay, so what happened was, according to Whitney Houston's assistant, Mary Jones, she revealed that the singer told her that Warwick had molested her, and that is what actually caused Whitney to question her own sexuality and perpetuated her drug problems later in life. Now, she said, I think she was ashamed, which is why she never told her mother. She said if Sissy had known, she would have done something about it because Sissy loves her children. According to Whitney Houston's half-brother, he also revealed in the film that he was molested by a female family member between the ages of 7 and 9. So he said there was something very disturbed about her because she was never comfortable in her own skin. She seemed kind of asexual in a strange way. She was a beautiful woman, but she was never particularly sexy. I've seen and done some filming with people who have suffered childhood sexual abuse, and there was just something about her manner that was reminiscent to me of that sort of shrinking.
I usually don't like to hear stories about dead people because they're not here to defend the stories, but I guess that's a good conversation because that is something that happens to kids a lot when they're younger, but it never comes out, especially
Absolutely.
About family members. I know I used to get touched on when I was 8.
And it just goes to show you that you never know how things like this will affect people later in life. Some people say, oh, well, that happened so long ago, or why did this person wait so long to come out, or should we still punish people from something that happened 30 years ago? But this can affect people for life.
Because I still don't know how it affected me when my cousin's ex-wife was touching on me. I do know that the reason I made her stop was because I couldn't stand the smell of her Jerry Curl. And, like, I don't like Jerry Curls to this day. Like, it was very painful watching Straight Outta Compton.
Mm. All right, now, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend have welcomed another baby. Their baby is here. She tweeted out, somebody's here. So, congratulations.
Congrats to them.
Chrissy Teigen and John Legend.
That's what y'all kept talking about all morning. Drop on the clues, Mother Chrissy Teigen.
What you mean?
I thought y'all was talking about somebody y'all actually knew, because y'all kept hearing in the studio, Chrissy had her baby, Chrissy had her baby. I was like, well, who is Chrissy?
Who said that?
I heard that a couple times this morning.
I said it. I don't know. I feel like I know Chrissy.
Oh, I thought that one of you personal friends.
She's very funny on social media. I've actually never met her, but, it's just exciting.
Didn't Chrissy come a bit one time?
No.
Didn't she?
I don't know. I've worked with Chrissy before.
I was with Charlamagne when we, I don't know. Okay. She did come up here one time. Yeah, she was. Maybe wasn't here.
Yeah, I probably wasn't here, but congratulations to Chrissy and John Legend. All right. Whew, well, I hate to do this story right after that, but Ludacris's wife, Eudoxie, actually had a miscarriage. She posted it on Instagram. She said, this year didn't necessarily start off right for us. I had a miscarriage and needed to have surgery. It was very easy to complain and self-pity, but I refused to let the enemy win. I stayed faithful and prayed up. I spent hours focusing on the many ways the Lord has blessed me. So she said she wants to share this with you to remind you to live in gratitude. When the enemy tries to knock you down, get even closer to your faith. Life will not always go as planned, and keeping a positive and grateful attitude will only bring more and bigger blessings.
What do you say when somebody has a miscarriage? You say sorry for your loss, or
just sorry.
Yeah, you can just say I'm sorry to hear that.
There you go.
Yeah, if you need anything, please let me know.
I mean, it's a very emotional time. No, it's a very emotional time for women because they feel like maybe it's them, it was their body. It's very difficult.
Also,
to say sorry.
For women, their body goes through a lot of that time, and then they're anticipating having a baby. Sometimes they've told people, and it just, you can imagine what that would feel like. All right, 50 Cent is facing legal action, and that is because he also posted that picture of Tierra Marie, the very explicit image that somebody hacked into her account and posted of her performing a sexual act. And so now, according to attorney Lisa Bloom and her press release, she said Love & Hip Hop Hollywood star Tierra Marie is accusing her ex-boyfriend of using her password to get access to her Instagram account and post those graphic images, and that 50 is a close friend of her ex and immediately reposted the images to his 18 million followers and used the tagline, Get the Strap. So that's an issue. And now he's involved in this lawsuit as well.
First of all, I don't think 50 should have anything to do with that because the image was already out there.
Image was out there.
All he did was repurpose it, I guess.
Absolutely.
And get the scrap could be porno. You know what I'm saying? He could have thought it was a porno. He could have said, I didn't know this was a Tierra Marie. This was a porno star. So I said, get the strap.
Well, he puts the strap on everything that he posts. I think he has
He said, put the strap on what?
Get the strap. I said, get the strap. I didn't say, put the strap.
You
I said, get
the
strap.
He puts the strap on.
You know what? I'm going to mess with you.
That's
forget
what you say.
You play too much.
That's
okay,
what you
BET
say.
Awards. BET has announced the nominees for the 2018 BET Awards. And guess who has the most nominations?
Kendrick
DJ
Lamar.
DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled.
He must have agreed to host.
All right. Kendrick Lamar has 5 nominations. The Migos have 4.
Oh, boy.
So.
Who's hosting?
Just to let you guys know.
Who's hosting?
Who's hosting?
You know, I don't even know who's hosting it.
DJ Khaled.
I don't even know who's hosting it. How about that? All right.
He deserves it, though.
But let me see who you guys think should win in some of these categories, because you know I got to do this. For you guys, Album of the Year Award, should it be Kendrick with Damn, SZA with Control, Jay-Z with 444, Migos with Culture 2, The Black Panther Album, or DJ Khaled Grateful? Look at that. TDE has 3 songs nominated for Album of the Year.
I would honestly say either Jay-Z 444 or SZA Control.
Okay. All right.
I like Jay-Z 444.
And I love the Kendrick Damn album.
I like Kendrick. I like the Black Panther album, too, and I like SZA. That's a tough one.
I'm just only talking about stuff that I really vibe to last.
That's a tough one.
That I couldn't stop listening to.
And then Best New Artist Award. This is a tough one. SZA, Her, Daniel Caesar, A Boogie with the Hoodie, or Goldlink?
SZA.
SZA. I like Daniel Caesar a lot, though.
I like SZA. Her, too, and I like A Boogie.
I think SZA is going to win that also.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's just some of the categories. Best Male R&B or Pop
Miguel.
Artist.
Miguel.
He's not nominated. Bruno Mars, Chris Brown, The Weeknd, Khalid, or Daniel Caesar?
Daniel Caesar.
Chris Brown.
All right. You know what? We should do a, like a, what do you guys call it? Brackets or something like that. What do they call it?
I have no idea.
When you guys bet?
The brackets?
Yeah.
That's what it's called, a bracket.
I thought that was called gambling.
That is against the law.
Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report. Maybe not anymore.
All right, Revolt, we'll see you guys later. Also, don't forget, after the mix, Tamika Mallory and my son will be joining us. All right?
My people, my people.
Yes.
So keep it locked. Mix is up next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.